Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Tanushree Ghosh. Tanushree Ghosh, a director in technology at Intel Corporation with a PhD in chemistry from Cornell University, and is also a social activist and writer. Her blog posts, op-eds, poems, and stories are in an effort to provoke thoughts, especially towards issues concerning women and social justice. She is a contributor, past and present, to several popular digital publications, including The Huffington Post, The Logical Indian, Tribune India, Women's Web, Thrive Global, and Cafe Dissensus. Her literary resume includes poems and stories featured in national and international magazines, Word Pauses and Noises, UK Tuck, Glimmer Train Honorable Mention, as well as inclusion in 9 anthologies such as Defiant Dreams, Oprah's 2016 Reading List Placeholder, and the Best Asian Short Stories 2017, published by Kitab. Her first single author book is From Another Land by Readomania Publishing and was featured in NPR USA. She is the founder and director of Her Rights, a 501(c) nonprofit committed to furthering the cause of gender equality. Well, good afternoon, Tanu. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian. Very glad to be here.
Thank you for jumping on. And Tanu, it's such a pleasure. I know we've probably known each other now for close to a year, at least I'm thinking, but I just appreciate you jumping on the podcast this evening because it's so important. You are one of our very first founding fellows and have contributed some great content to our readers. So thanks again. And Tanu, we're going to jump into the questions here. You've got quite the career, and I love it, by the way, working at Intel for many years, many different roles. And currently, you're the Director of High Velocity Infrastructure Office at Intel. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just start with a little bit of clarification. I know that probably what high velocity does not mean much to an audience outside of not just Intel, but my direct sphere of the program office. You can think of me more as high velocity is really very similar to lean. It's a methodology that we apply from anything from product requirement to product development to manufacturing, supply chain, but it's really a way of working with team, identifying where they're breaking points are in their process and how to make them more efficient. And what I do in that program office is I'm the director for the infrastructure and operations team there. And I also work as a senior program manager driving the adoption of this methodology. So just wanted to give that little clarification. I have updated my LinkedIn because I did have high velocity there, but then I realized it's infrastructure and operations is probably something that folks will be able to easily connect with. Sure. Now, with that, I will come to your question. So, you know, my career at Intel has really, I have been really fortunate, Intel being almost like a big city where you can really try out any job you want. At least that has been for me, if you are brave enough to take that step. So what I would say, you know, what has always inspired me, I started in technology development. I worked in manufacturing, and then I moved on to supply chain. Within that, I played quite a few roles, both as individual contributors and managers. I managed teams who had folks in Japan. Then I moved on to supply chain, but in the IT space, and I worked for a few months out of India. I then moved back into the product development or business unit side with this director role. But what I'm trying to say is what has always inspired me is to try out new things. You know, I have never been afraid of stepping out of my domain, even when the job I had was very, very cushy and I could just continue doing what I was doing because I became very comfortable with that. But what I try to do is anytime I get very, very comfortable, I try to see how to make my life more interesting. So if you want to call that inspiration or philosophy or whatever, that's what drives me.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I appreciate just as well as our readers will, the clarification of your title, your role there at Intel Corporation. So thank you. And Tanu, let's talk a little bit about the pandemic. We're still kind of in the midst of it. They're saying that maybe by summer, end of summer, we'll get to maybe be a little bit more relaxed with it because of the immunizations. So, you know, everybody's had to shift. Everybody's had to pivot. Maybe you could share with us what you see in tech companies doing or what's Intel doing or what you're doing to stay relevant in this economy.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, when the pandemic started, Intel jumped in, like every other company, into what you can think of an equivalent of containment and sustain mode in terms of making sure everyone is safe, they're able to work remotely. At that time, I was still working in supply chain side of IT. So we had a huge amount of population out in India in offsite data centers when India went into that lockdown, that huge lockdown. So a lot of the focus at that time was just to assess risks and exposures and how to keep everyone functional, what are the essential functionalities, what to offer. Now, Intel has a pandemic leadership team and they have done a great job. Some of the things I can talk about, which I have been exposed to as a recipient, is they provided everyone, like many other companies, with supplies that would enable them to work from home comfortably and ergonomically safe. They are still doing a lot of focus on ergonomics. They're trying to, every group has safety metrics. We use a tool called Wellnomics. So as a tech company, Intel has been very heavily focused on making sure physical health, after the workers have been made functional, their physical health is not at risk from the things that can happen when you are working from home. I have seen Intel pay a lot of focus, attention into mental health also. There has been consistent, messaging around people taking wellness days if they need to. They have offered up lots of resources, both through things that we call employee assistance program and just offline seminars. People can come to constant reminders. Last year was not just the pandemic, of course, but it was very heavy emotionally also because of the events around race that happened. So I saw Intel put together a podcast eventually, but sessions in my group on people just coming forward and talking about pent up feelings around that, just to make sure that everyone is okay. So I really appreciate that. I think that Intel has done a lot culture-wise, functionality-wise, physical, mental health-wise. Now, one thing I have personally learned in this pandemic as a manager, obviously, we have all had to become used to being on meetings, Microsoft Teams meeting all the time, going away from face-to-face interactions. I used to think that, you know, I'm so used to just walking into a room and doing whiteboard work. I wasn't sure if I will be able to adapt to this world where we are just not having that face-to-face connect and back of the napkin or whiteboard interaction. But I feel that we have all adapted very well. One thing I do want to touch upon, and I know that I'm giving you a little bit of long answer, but I do think it's important. My personal realization has been how we hire and manage people needs to be very different when we are in a virtual environment from when we have face-to-face interactions or in-office work. And I will just say that with a simple example. So one of the ways that tech companies or any corporations measure people, unfortunately, we are not as granular on different personality skills and celebrating all of those personality skills versus having more or less a singular metric for measuring performance for folks. Now, one of the things that has made something very apparent to me is if that model was flawed before, it's going to be even more flawed now. Because certain personality types, mostly extroverts, for example, or people who are very comfortable asking for help, they are going to thrive more in this virtual environment compared to someone who is technically very strong, but is not able to get the same amount of information out of their colleagues, but need additional help. So for example, I have been managing some folks in my team, and although all of them are very equally technically capable, initially, I was expecting people who are ramping up and coming into the team would do so similarly in the virtual environment. And you know, one person who is very comfortable just reaching out to people, taking very good notes in the meeting, pinging people offline, now has an advantage over being in the same cubicle area and someone who is possibly more introverted and can still go and seek the same support and make the same impression on his or her colleagues without being as vocal. So I think that as managers, we have an added responsibility, or even leaders, you don't have to be a manager per se, you can be even an individual contributor, to pay much more attention to celebrate people for their differentiated skills. And we have to do some extra work in that, because some personalities can get a little bit more buried than others in this virtual working mode.
Thank you for sharing, Tanu. I appreciate that. That's a different perspective, especially during this pandemic, but we've learned a lot from it. And I think your sharing your insights is certainly will contribute to the conversation. So Tanu, let's talk about tech. This is a technology platform, this publication and podcast. You're obviously leveraging some new and emerging tech in your tech stack at Intel. We know that, but is there anything that you might be able to share with us, say, that's not confidential?
Yeah, very, very general stuff mostly. I don't necessarily need to go into the specifics, but I talked about the disadvantage I personally felt on not having whiteboards, but using Microsoft Teams, which is what we use, and the stylus, and having their drawboard or whiteboard feature mitigate some of that. We use a lot of video conferencing through Teams and the chatting through Teams. One of the things we do as part of my office's role working with broader Intel team is to do mapping of how their process looks. And we do that outlining all the steps, all the handover points, anything that comes into taking something from point A to point B to try and identify where the inefficiencies lie. Now, we have used some mapping tools on that, like Draw.io, everything that is out there. And all of that has helped us sustain ourselves. So if you think of the software agile PI planning events where people get into a big room and put those sticky notes up on a whiteboard, using Draw.io is a virtual equivalent of that, where we use virtual sticky notes on that tool to try and map out the same thing. So mostly, to sum it up, there are a lot of things out there based on what you need. You can start getting habituated to anything.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. That's, you know, that came up once or twice in a previous podcast with the guest of using similar tools like that with the sticky notes. It's all electronic, and it's been very helpful, especially with people in this remote and virtual environment. So Tanu, thank you again. Tanu, last question. Everybody wants to know a little bit about Tanu Ghosh. Could you share something from your career experience that might be helpful for other women in tech looking to grow their career in leadership?
Sure. So I already said that I have always tried to try on new things. Most of the times it has been by choice. Sometimes it has been by change that was inadvertent. So one of the things I would say is building a very strong network, both internally and externally to your workplace, is very important. And one of the things I often see, it's not just women, but even men, don't understand is that there is a difference between finding a mentor and finding a sponsor. And there is also another level that some people use, which is coach. Now, I would kind of combine coaching with mentoring. I see most people, when they're building their network, kind of building really a huge ecosystem of mentors who they do not come to with any specific goals or asks with, but mostly discuss general advice. Everyone's time is limited. So what I will really say is what is very helpful for me is to actually find people in a targeted way, figuring out some, you don't need to know every step of where you have to go, but say you at least know that, okay, I'm an engineer today, or I'm a software developer today. I want to have some interest in management. It's very important to find some folks who are not in your direct management chain and some who are in your direct management chain, understanding who they are, in a very intentional way, making sure they get a taste of your work and get to know you so that they can actually be your sponsors. They can actually ask for certain jobs for you when you are not in the room. And I think that is a key accelerator, which I don't see anyone, but mostly women. Men do it probably much better from the data that shows the C-suite representation, but specifically women, I don't think are still doing it in the scale that is needed.
Great. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. That perspective is something that I've not heard yet here on this podcast. But what's great, Tanu, is I get to hear everybody's perspectives and then we get to turn around and share it with the globe. So I think this is amazing. And Tanu, I just want to let you know it was a pleasure having you on today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Okay. Sounds good, Brian. And there is one thing if I can just quickly add, it is also very important to have the responsibility. Otherwise, women who are in leadership position and men, I feel like we really need to do more to actively bring people up, and I will just, you know, and be sponsors. So I will just leave it at that.
Great. Thank you. And again, Tanu, thanks again. Bye for now.